Blog Talk Radio.
Whiskey finally caught up to him, took the life right out of him. We were cracking jokes in the hospital room when the doctor said there was nothing he could do. I was mad as hell cause he did it all to himself, and I spent more time judging instead of loving. Now I'm wishing I could get the time back, but time doesn't work like that. So love her while you can, 'cause life's too short not to give a damn. Love her while you can, 'cause you might not get a second chance to call up your mama, make sure she's okay, check on an old friend, 'cause life can get crazy. Life had finally caught up to her. Second time around, cancer coming back to her. She was 16, the sweetest thing. Straight A's, just made it on the softball team. Her mama never left her side. Her daddy, he was always working overtime, too busy making money instead of making memories. Man, he's wishing he could get the time back. All the time doesn't work like that. So love her while you can, 'cause life's too short not to give a damn. Love her while you can, 'cause you might not get a second chance. Talking to baby, make sure they're okay.
Good evening.
This is Dean.
I'm Diana, and we're D&D, Delivering
the
Truth.
In New York State and beyond. Well, you don't want to say it in New York.
Screw me off. Oh, you screwed me off when you do that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's not right. So, first, I just want to thank all our listeners for, tuning in every week on Blog Talk Radio, Freedomizer Radio, and also tuning in to the podcast after on Apple. Apple, iHeartRadio, a whole bunch of stuff. Our ratings are really through the roof, and we really appreciate this. We haven't even been going at this for a year now, and we're doing good.
Yeah, we're already beating our ratings. We're already beating people that have been on there for a couple of years.
And if you don't like us, too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Our self-esteem doesn't suffer.
And the FCC doesn't listen to us, so we can say pretty much whatever we want.
Well,
so
within reason.
Yeah. So we've had a big week here in New York. The big news is a federal court threw down the draconian gun laws that they passed in the middle of the night after the Supreme Court threw down the gun laws.
Yeah, that was this morning that came through. So what does this exactly mean now?
Well, as far as I can tell, the laws have gone back to what the Supreme Court says. The main thing being, we are a shall-issue state. In other words, if you want a gun permit, you get a gun permit, and it's up to the state to figure out why they don't want to give it to you. Before that, the state, for 100 years, we were a may-issue state. So the gun owner or the potential gun owner had to prove to the state why they wanted to have a gun. So this is huge. You know, we're back to where we were. We'll see what they do next.
Well, we'll see what they do once they hit legislation again, because, you know, her executive orders and her little things that she does without legislation is one thing, but if it passes through the legislative, which we know is relatively Democrats, then that's where the issues come in.
Yeah, but still, if it's unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional.
Well,
we'll see. Because these new gun laws pass through the legislation.
So now what does this mean? Does this mean that...
all these new laws are unconstitutional, they can't be enforced, and they're null and void.
Oh, so now you can go to and buy your ammunition without having to show your ID and all this other stuff?
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see who gets the memo on that.
Right, right.
Yeah, because we know how long it took people to get the memo for the masks, too.
Yeah, but I think the MasterCard and Visa was a federal law, not a New York state. So if you put it on your MasterCard and Visa, they've got to let their databases be searched. So, ladies and gentlemen, as long as cash is around, go buy your ammunition and guns and cash.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Do it now because, I mean, they're talking about, you know, the potential of cash not existing anymore, which, you know, this is not old new news.
Yeah, but don't you have to have the chip embedded in you? Otherwise, you can't go shopping.
No, I mean, they're already. I mean, places like BJ's Warehouse, there's other places that I've seen and have had sent to me that they're no longer accepting cash. There's people that are going to their banks and being questioned when they're taking out, you know, larger amounts and sums of money. The banks are asking them. Citibank was actually one of them, asking the people what they're using the money for. I mean, it's none of your effing business what they're using the money for. And, you know, these are things that are really happening.
Yeah. And this is all part of the trillion-dollar failure of the war on drugs. You know, they've spent $1 trillion trying to do this. They have all these laws that violate, illegal search and seizure. Part of the drug laws, and this has been around for like 15, 20, 30 years, is any transaction over $9,999, they have to, you have to fill out forms and get a big explanation.
Yeah.
And that was to keep the drug dealers from, bringing in every day suitcases and suitcases and trunks worth of cash and depositing it. So...
Yeah.
They put that arbitrary limit on it that I guess if you want to pay your air conditioning guy to redo your air conditioning cash, you're going to have some issues.
Yeah. So moving on, from the whole cash thing, because we already know this is happening. They're trying to crash the whole central bank system, so that they can, Big Brother can spy on everything we do. That's not new.
Yeah.
Unless you're living under a cardboard box. You could see what's happening with inflation. They're gonna, they're gonna outprice us on groceries.
Yeah.
Honestly, they're gonna
outprice us on groceries. I figured that Diana's been sending me to the gym on a regular basis, and now I can lift $300 worth of groceries.
Yeah.
I feel like like Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
So.
So, moving on to something that somebody asked me about a couple of weeks ago, and I said I hadn't heard anything about this. Well, apparently, China has sent over, I can't open it. I got to send a screenshot. Do you have it or you can't open it either? You probably can't either because it's Epoch Times. We're too cheap to...
Yes.
We're not too cheap. I took a screenshot of it. They are sending over they're sending over police here. So they opened up an overseas police service station in New York City. And they're saying that what it's supposed to be used for is
We got a cat fight going on. So Chinese transitional policing gone wild. Oh no, here we go. They want me to global transnational repression, according to human rights groups Safeguard Defenders.
Yeah.
These operations askew official bilateral police, and you know what is this? Is this a universal police that's going to be coming out and hanging out, and that's answerable that we don't know, because we know that the state police answers to the governor. We know that the town and the city police is off answer to the supervisors / mayors, and the sheriffs answer to the people. So what, are they trying to bypass all this and having some police force that answers to who knows what and who knows who?
And it doesn't really even state exactly. I had sent it to one of our local assemblymen, and he said he never heard of it. But apparently New York City was one of the first outposts, the first batch of 30 overseas police service stations that they're going to have in 21 different countries. So what this means, I don't know, but it seems very fishy to me. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I feel like our whole country has been infiltrated from within as it is.
Right.
So that's definitely something to keep an eye out. And if we get any more information on it, definitely update y'all. So, yeah. I mean, all the more reasons to split the state. And, you know, we had a show on dividing New York a couple of weeks ago. We talked about splitting New York State into three autonomous regions, basically, which would give us all of our power back and ditch New York City, aside from, you know, our region and Long Island, which would be a dream come true.
Right.
You know,
right.
We can bring up, we can ditch all the crappy stuff that they've ever done to us. And and I feel like with the Divide New York, and Dean and I are Western New York area leaders for Divide. We're also board members for Divide New York and splitting the state. It's a movement that's been going on for close to 10 years now. But what's happening is people are realizing that your letters, your phone calls, your stupid rallies and standing on the street corners, not that they're not bad. I mean, not that they're not, you know, they're fun for camaraderie and for getting to know other patriots, no doubt. But at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff is not working. So I think people are starting to realize that we need something different. So we have this movement in New York State, but California also has a very similar movement.
Well, we actually got our movement from theirs. They've been at it longer than we have, and our chief counsel, who should be calling in, Rich Bitter, he was actually out there consulting with them, because he's a constitutional lawyer and from the central part of New York State. And he was out there, and then when he came back, he rounded up all of us early people, you know, into the movement. And I've said for years and years and years that if it wasn't for New York City, Western New York, you know, the Buffalo area where Diana and I live, would be one of the greatest areas in the country to live. You know, it's you have everything out here except for the ocean. But we do have a couple big freshwater lakes. So, you know, most of the freshwater for the whole world is here.
Yeah, and freezing winters.
Yeah. Right.
If you're into that kind of thing, which I'm not any longer. But, yeah, you know, it is. It's a very pretty area. But, you know, that our lunatic fringe in New York State has ruined it.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. We have faced some of the highest property taxes in the state. In the country.
Yeah. I think Niagara Falls is the number one property tax county in the country.
Yeah. So anyway, so we were able to hook up with the people from California Divide, and I asked them to be on the show, and they accepted. So we are going to have some dialogue, you know, with similarities and differences with the Divide movements. And we're going to find out exactly what they're doing over on the other side of the country. And can this movement pick up momentum in other states? I think Illinois is interested in doing it.
Get rid of Chicago.
Yeah.
Virginia.
I know Virginia at one time talked about it.
Get rid of Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
Colorado, get rid of Denver.
Yeah. So, you know.
Oregon, get rid of the western part of the state. The eastern counties actually want to secede and become part of Idaho.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Idaho says no.
That's right.
They said no. They don't want all the Californians in Idaho, and I can't say I blame them.
Right.
Now that Salt Lake City and Utah are pretty much infiltrated with them. You know, if you're going to do that, if you're moving, don't bring the crap with you.
Right.
You know, stop it. There's a reason why you're moving.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get back on to Divide. We are honored tonight to have on Divide California. I'm going to say Divide New York probably the whole time. You guys will know what I mean. So are you guys there?
609-503,
yeah.
Is that you?
Yes.
Ah, okay,
we hear you.
You're on. You're live
in
nationwide.
So, well, hi. I'm Ryan. I'm the founder of, you know, we have a lot longer of a name, you know, Autonomous Regions of California, but Divide California works.
Okay. Well, we do too.
But,
we just call it New York, but it actually is Divide New York to Autonomous Regions, right?
Yeah.
We just say Divide New York or split the state.
So
anyway, we just want to let you know, we're going to let you do a brief introduction, and then we have to go to commercial at 8 o'clock. We have to do four-minute commercials to pay our sponsors.
And 8:30.
And 8:30. And there is a slight delay with the radio, so we just want to make you aware of that.
All right.
Okay, you've been at this a lot longer than we have. So can you tell us, you know, what made you think about doing this? And from what I understand, your original proposal was to divide it into California into three autonomous regions. And now from your logo, it looks like you guys have gone to six. So for about the next 11 minutes, do you think you could talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we don't really have a lot of connection to the old movement, because basically we picked it up because it seemed like the movement has kind of simmered down or it hasn't really been growing at all. And so kind of the idea is to reinvigorate this dividing the states. The six regions is based on something from the early, I believe 2000s or 2010s. It's from a guy called Tim Dapper, where he proposed the six states of California. And so it's kind of basing it off of that concept, where, you know, he tried to get a pass, getting California split into six states, but instead of splitting it into actually six states, it'd be doing the same thing as Divide New York. I think it's better overall. It's a good breakdown. The idea is to break, you know, so you have a lot of large metropolitan areas like San Francisco and LA, and, you know, a lot of the more inland regions don't really agree or need the same policies as the outer areas or the shoreline. And so it's basically to give these regions more control over their own destiny, more control over how they need to govern and manage their resources. Because water is such a large issue in the state of California, and so is energy.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole energy thing, we could go on about that for hours, you know, what they're trying to even do in New York. You know,
right, and you guys are having some rolling brownouts and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, we had it at the end of September.
Go ahead.
During the heat wave at the end of September, we were having these, you know, rolling blackouts in parts of the city. I'm currently in LA area, but yeah, the state was having energy problems.
Yeah. Well, I think there are a lot of them are planned energy problems to just push their whole Green New Deal. But I know they were telling you all to not charge your cars. You know, and the electric car thing is a real big push here in New York State. In fact, they passed legislation that said that you can't have a gas-powered car after 2035.
Right, and by 2024, all new houses and buildings can no longer have natural gas. Now, I'm old enough to remember where everybody was saying, hey, natural gas, that's the clean fuel, you know. But they don't want any natural gas or home heating oil, you know, God forbid. That's even worse.
Yeah.
After 2024, all new construction. And by 2030, they want everybody to retrofit to electric. Now, you know, to me, that's the problem when you've got a bunch of lawyers and English majors in government. They're not scientists. Where do we get our electricity?
Nice.
Nuclear, coal, oil.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit natural gas. So.
Yeah. So you guys definitely have a lot, you know, even with your legislation, a lot of your legislation, there's even more draconian than ours. You know, they do some crazy things with your legislation, you know, and that's why we really want to push the divide movement here, because we're tired of being under the thumb of, you know, New York City. People in Western New York, upstate New York, I mean, we're conservatives. Just like you guys in California, you have so many parts of California that are conservative or Republican. You know, you don't want to deal with this crap. Do you agree or disagree?
I do agree. It's, you know, the whole state can't agree on, you know, similar policies at all.
Yeah, 100%.
It's one of the things I've, like, noticed, because I was looking at a story from last week where Gavin Newsom had 550 bills on his desk, and the way the governor veto power works is that if you have they have to basically veto it or sign it within 12 days, because if they don't sign it, it'll automatically pass. And so it's like, how do you address 550 bills when your legislation is so active? You know, it's very cumbersome.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane.
Right.
And, you know, and that was, like, your governor was very similar to our crazy governor during, you know, the lockdowns and, you know, the China virus. You know, and they did all these executive orders, and, you know, they closed businesses. They did all these crazy things with masks, whether you disagree or agree or disagree with masks, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But, you know, they ruined a lot of lives. And nothing they did when they had these executive powers, and I know Gavin had the same thing, none of these things that they did, none of it passed through legislation. You know, we can never, ever allow that something like that to happen again, which is another perfect reason to split the states, because, you know, it might. It could.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, also, like, the urban areas need, you know, they're more centers for spreading diseases just naturally throughout history. You know, that's just, it's just population density, there's more chances. And so, like, you know, the urban regions shouldn't really, or the rural regions really don't need as strict policies, because, you know, the chances are a lot lower. They're extraordinarily lower. And, you know, you can't rule the entire state under one policy, especially something as large as New York or California.
Yeah.
You know, part of the problem is these metropolitan areas have gotten so big. Interesting thing I heard a few years ago, because there's always, you know, after every election, regardless of who wins, the other side is like, we should get rid of the Electoral College, rah, 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 rah. And, you know, interesting statistic is if we got rid of the Electoral College, the 17 largest cities in the United States would decide the presidency. And you start looking around, you know, at these 17 cities, and those are all cities that control their state, and their state is not real happy with them.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's why the Senate, to a degree, too, is such an important function in the government. You know, if democracy was just by popular vote, right, it's like two wolves and a sheep voting for what's for dinner. It's, you know, it's not entirely a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're going to get ready to go to our first commercial, and we come back, I want to talk about exactly how your movement got started, how you got involved, and where you guys are in this process. We do have some callers waiting. Callers, if you guys want to talk, you'll have to raise your hands. You'll have to hit one. And then we've had a few emails come in during the show, so we're going to answer those too. So D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. We'll be back in 4 minutes, guys. You just stay right there. 4 minutes. Hang tight.
Barefaces Legal Radio, Saturdays, noon to 1:30 Eastern Time, Pacific Time, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Learn about your bareface rights and help keep us without face diapers.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network. Tune in to the Alaska Patriot Network, Fridays, 2 p.m. Alaska time, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage? Maybe your diet or politics. Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers and we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about, and you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad. Okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's gonna make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You hurt my feelings, dum-dum.
We're back.
We are back, so Ryan, you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good, good. So when this thing first started, how did you guys plan to get it to happen? Because I assume that just like with New York, we're like, yeah, it would be nice to make it into three states, but that's an act of Congress. You know, they'll start playing their games, like trying to get Puerto Rico or Washington, D.C. statehood. So how do you guys plan to do it?
So I guess I'll start from where we're currently at, right? We're currently really at the bottom, right? We need to build up a base of volunteers, you know, get this grassroots effort going. But to really get it moving, we need to create a dual petitions. One is to create a state convention, and the other is to put the dividing California into regions as a agenda for the convention. So that's the purpose of those two petitions. And then, you know, create the state convention. And then the state convention from there it has to be ratified by popular vote.
Okay,
yeah. One of the state senators that we've been talking to, instead of having it go through the assembly, you know, and the assembly is 2-1 in New York State, you know, Democrats or Republicans, and then the Senate, instead of having it go through the two houses and then sit on a far left liberal governor's desk, he wants to go a little different direction and have it go to referendum, in which case the people will vote on it.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of other senators that we know that actually want to propose studies on, because right this minute, the policies from New York City has decimated the state. And New York City, you know, with the United Nations and the stock market and all that, they give about $1.3 billion a year to upstate or out of New York City, we'll call it, you know, to support us. However, if we get rid of them, we'd be able to open up fracking, you know, which right now Pennsylvania is slant drilling and stealing all our natural gas, and they're rich. and, you know, get rid of some things like the Unsafe Act, which was the act they put in 2013, you know, that made our gun control laws as strict as yours. So how do you guys plan on getting it through and actually making it happen?
Yeah.
We really do need to get, you know, the word out. We need to get... become a lot more notable.
Yeah, because I think for us, you know, when we started out doing this, you know, people didn't know about it. You know, they'll see a sign and they're like, ooh, what's Divide New York? You know, that it was getting enough people in the state to know about it. You know, like now we have this past couple of weeks, we've had a billboard up in 5 different areas outside of New York City. You know, so people are starting, and that's what we did. You know, we started just doing Facebook. They started sending emails. I think the database in the emails is what? No.
I don't know. Just the one in our area is about 1,200, 1,300. Remember, I had to send them out in batches of 100 or less. Otherwise, they shut down my email for being a spammer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we have a real momentum now. And when Dean and I took over the Western New York area, you know, we just started asking people from the towns or the cities to go to present, you know, the resolution to their town board members. And we successfully got, you know, two towns to actually pass it. You know, so we kind of switched it around from the legislation actually doing this for us and making it about the people doing it for us, so more of like a grassroots movement rather than trying to get it through legislation, because, I mean, our legislation in New York, the Divide plan is so far on the back burner, they, you know,
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the pile.
So getting the towns and the cities involved, you know, what happens if we get enough of them, if we could get the majority of them to pass, then, you know, they're kind of obligated, right?
Yeah, according to the New York State Constitution, if a town or a county or a city passes a resolution saying they support a certain bill, then the New York State Assemblyman and the New York State Senator is obliged. They don't have to, but they're obliged to support the bill and co-sponsor it. So this, so the approach that they've been using the past couple of years is a bottoms-up report approach. Try to get the towns to pass it. And, you know, it's not as easy as you say because they're afraid of retribution from Albany. Albany, you know, is Andrew Cuomo was notorious for putting it to his enemies, you know, cutting funding, doing all sorts of illegal stuff that they couldn't really do, but he did it.
Yeah.
So these towns and counties are afraid to sign on to this for losing funding. You look at just about any budget in New York, half the funding comes from the state.
Yeah.
So what are the little loopholes in your constitution to help you guys get this through?
So that would be creating the petitions, because the petitions is how you – like, so the legislation can create a constitutional or can create a convention, but the petitions basically put it on the legislator's desk where they have to vote – where they have to either vote yes or no. They can vote no, but, I mean, if you have enough people on the petitions, it's kind of hard to say no.
I think they would – I don't know if we did the petitions here, what they would do with that.
Yeah.
Because we've assigned petitions in New York all over the place, and we always wonder what happens to them all. They just kind of float out there, and,
well,
and we never really get an answer.
When they passed the Unsafe Act in 2013 – I forgot how many tens of thousands of petitions they carted to Albany and used, you know, hand trucks to wheel them into the state, you know, the state hall, and nothing ever came of it because they don't care.
Right. Yeah. And that's why, you know, our biggest suggestion to you, and I think you're doing it the right way, is, you know, making it a grassroots movement and getting the people involved. Because here, once people started to learn about it, they were like, wow, you know, that would be really cool if that could work, you know, if we could get this to work and more people are getting involved. And today we signed on a Niagara County leader, which is one of the bigger counties in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people are starting to realize that, you know, the letters and the phone calls and the rallies and all this stuff, they're not working.
You know, and before Diane and I were really active here in Western New York, you know, nothing was happening out here. You know, but now Western New York seems to be the hotbed for reform in New York State. And not just because of us, but, you know, there's several other things, too. You know, one of the counties declared themselves a constitutional county.
Yeah.
In other words, if things started coming out of Albany that were unconstitutional, they just weren't going to follow them.
Right.
So I'm
noticing, I'm looking at your website. And your website, you know, you talk about more focus being placed on the development of economies, you know, and I mean, that's huge. You know, when you have just certain areas of the state running the whole economy, you know, there's people that are suffering. You know, absolutely, like our county, I mean, we have so many potholes here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, that need to be fixed, you know. And
they'll start working on those in a year, in September, because the county executive's up for re-election, so they'll be fixing all the roads.
Yeah, all the potholes. So I noticed that, and you guys are, I'm just trying to look on your website here with the tax reform. So tell me what your big deal is with the taxes. I know you guys have pretty high taxes out there. If you guys were to make this movement successful, how is that going to affect California taxes? We could tell you after you tell us what it'll do to New York.
So, like, the big idea about it is to give the regions more control over their own taxes. Like, you know, areas like Bakersfield that aren't as, you know, densely populated, they need a lot more. Like, they don't need you don't have as, like, big companies. You don't have as a lot of large industry there. And so it'd be better to bring, you know, if they could, you know, lower their taxes, if they could have a cheaper area to incentivize companies to move there. And, you know, you can build a city like Phoenix, you know, a city in the middle of the desert that's quite prosperous.
Okay. And then have some huge, huge water problems there where farmers are, you know, basically closing up their farms because of some salamander that you know, needs the water, so they're not opening up the floodgates to flood some of these canals and stuff that the farmers use for irrigation. I think that's Northern California, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the whole state is going through that continual drought problem. I mean, the Colorado River Basin has been, you know, it hasn't been really getting much water. Lake Mead behind the Hoover Dam has been going, you know, record lows. And so to a degree, there has to be some adaptations, but it'd be better if the region can control their own water usage so that they could save their local economies instead of, you know, routing all the water towards cities and away from farms.
Yeah.
You know, you can destroy the entire economy of the region because you're shipping it to the city.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like, you know, and that's, I think, part of their bigger plan here is they just don't want us to have farms, no food. You know, all goes back to relying on the government. And, you know, that it's a whole can of worms that we can open up with that. So,
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
It'll also, like, exaggerate the problems of the cities in California right now of the cost of living, right? The more food you have to ship in from farther away, the more expensive it's going to get. And it's just going to hurt, you know, it's going to hurt all the low-income people.
Yep. Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening here. And I know, you know, in ours, we talk about how the autonomous regions are going to be able to write their own laws, basically. You know, so we don't have to follow the stuff coming out of New York City. And I was looking at your website, and you guys want to abolish the death penalty if you split. Is that right?
We want to leave it to the regions themselves to have that choice.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and that's really what New York is, too. We're kind of leaving, you know, a lot up to the each autonomous region, which I think they're going to concur on a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, being mostly conservative, you know, and...
Now, how's your legislature set up? You know, here in New York, we've got the State Assembly, which is kind of the equivalent of the House of Representatives, and then we've got the State Senate. Now, about the same time that they passed the 17th Amendment is when the New York State Senate changed also. Originally, the New York State Senate was one senator per county. Now it's one senator per every two assembly districts, pretty much. Senators twice the population. So they politicized both houses, just like they did with the federal government. How is your government set up?
I'm actually not too – I'm trying to think. I'm not as well so there's 40 districts and 80 districts. I'm not too familiar with – I guess it's not on the top of my head about how California is set up.
Okay. Yeah, it just seems to be a trend that – you know, they're making the senators, be it the U.S. senators or the state senators, more by popular vote than by, you know, like originally in the U.S. Senate, the state legislatures elected the senators. It wasn't a popular vote the way it is now. So now, you know, a perversion of the system, as I call it, and you've got two people's houses. It's just one of them only has two representatives. And I think you guys have, you said 40 districts. Is that your 40 congressional districts?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you've also got 40 electoral votes because those coincide where, you know, we lost a couple of districts because people are fleeing New York State at about 1,000 a day.
Yeah. And I know you guys are losing quite a bit of population, too. Do you know where that stands?
I currently don't know where it's at. But, yeah, I know a lot of people have been continually moving out. You know, and the state is going into and that I'm pretty sure they're still losing people instead of, or staying zero.
You know, here in Erie County, the county executive is like, we gained 10,000 people. Yeah, it was 10,000 illegals that he buffed in.
Exactly.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, they're asking me at the doctor if I want to get a TB test and stuff. And I'm like, TB, that's been dead for 100 years. Well, you know, there's people from South America that are bringing it up here, and it's going around Buffalo right now. I'm like, oh, geez, you know, that's a real nice way of saying it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I know you guys are right at the Mexican border, too, in Southern California. Tijuana's right there across the border. And, you know, I've talked to Customs and Border Patrol agents that were stationed there, and, you know, our border is like a sieve. I mean, anything goes through it.
Yep.
Ronald Reagan said that his biggest mistake was giving amnesty to that 4.5 million illegals. And California has never been the same since.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So what was your turning point, like, to really want to get involved in this movement and push this movement forward? Was there something that happened that made you say, hey, that's it, I'm done?
Well, it was between, I was talking with a friend, and he brought attention to me about Divide New York, and it was a pretty interesting idea. I really do like the concept, and, you know, I noticed that in California, I think, the same idea would work, very well. I know that the state has a history of trying to, like, you know, create the state of Jefferson is a big one that's been around for a long time. And so that's really what kind of brought me into it or brought me interest in it. I've always had quite an interest in politics. And I thought it would be a good idea to try to get out there to give people more liberty.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's really how the changes are going to be made now. In my experience, and I have some very good friends that are, you know, senators and assemblymen, you know, involved in committees and stuff, but at the end of the day, it's really going to be the people, and which it should be. You know, it's supposed to be we the people that are going to end up either a revolution or really needing to make some change, and I think it's going to be the people that are going to have to do it. You know, we can't rely on, I mean, this whole COVID thing and the whole last 3 years has really proven that we really can't rely on our governmental system to, you know, support us.
You know, I'm seeing here, Diana's at the part of your website that says State Constitutional Convention. In our constitution here in New York, every 20 years they have to have a constitutional, you know, or you get to vote. The people get to vote on if they want a constitutional convention. So, as usual, New York City rigged it so that any sane person would not want a constitutional convention. Because the people at the convention would be every state senator. Okay, I'm cool with that. But you'd also have 16 at-large people attending the conventions in addition to every state senator. And where will those people come from? New York City's got the votes. So whatever happens, there'll be 16 extra votes from New York City, and the Constitution will be wide open on the table. They could do whatever they want, and we could end up, you know, being God knows what. So those were the big reasons to vote down the Constitutional Convention here in New York State. What does your Constitutional Convention look like?
So California has only had two Constitutional Conventions in its history, and both of them were in the 1800s.
Oh, get out. Never had another one.
Yeah,
since
the last
then?
One was. No, basically there's been attempts, and that's about it. California's constitution process is a little interesting because you can ratify the constitution, which is like making a small change, and then you amend the constitution to make a lot larger of a change, and you have to create the convention to do amendments to it. And it seems like it's been quite a difficult process because you need to get 10% of the voter base
okay.
to force a convention.
Okay.
Wow. I can't even get over that. So they've basically been living on the same nonsense for...
same as us, 200
years, yeah. 200 years. So, interesting stuff. So, as far as you're reaching out now for volunteers and getting people involved, how are you doing on that?
So we're doing that through our website. We're on our website, there is a volunteer tab. You can put your information, and once we get enough people, we can start, using volunteers to campaign, kind of push the idea out, and eventually, one day down the road, eventually funding will be a thing for campaigning,
okay.
to get the dual petitions out. But
it's yeah, because that was what we did in here in New York is we split it, obviously, by the counties. how many counties are in New York? 36? 63. Why was I thinking
36?
I don't even know.
Dyslexic.
30, see, yeah, that must be it. So, and so each individual county, and actually a lot of them are filled now. If they're active, we don't really know. But, there's more people than ever that are
county leaders. Yeah.
County leaders, you know, and so the county leaders basically round up the people in the individual towns or cities and to get them to present, what we call a home rule resolution.
To their town board. Yeah. What happened out here in New York, I've been involved since like 2015 and we had really no direction and stuff. And then they paired me up with Diana and she's a social media guru. She's unbelievable. So the way we'd work it out here was she would harvest the people, as I call it, and, rally them up and get people that were interested through social media. And then, I'd go with them. And sometimes she'd go out too, but she's got an 11-year-old she's got to take care of, and my schedule's more open. And we'd help out the people that were doing the home rule resolutions. Now, what I know, because I've been involved in politics for a long time, is you need someone from each town to do a resolution for that town. Because they don't, if I don't live there, they really don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from their constituents.
Yeah.
So we go there to help them. And there's been many times that whoever was presenting, they got asked a question, and they turn around and look at me, and I'd say, do I have permission to speak? And they'd say yes, and, I'd thank them for permission because they don't know who I am, and they know I don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd answer the questions for them. So that's how we've done it out here, and we've been very, very successful. We're close to getting, a couple of counties to do resolutions, which means we don't have to go from town to town anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So would a system like that work for you guys out in California?
It would. The process rate is that, with the dual petitions, it's not like, we need, towns to get behind it. It's just we need sheer population. But
yeah.
It would probably be a good system to get, the ideas and kind of concerns and, kind of help organize the movement in that kind of way. Because we're at the ground floor. There's a lot of options that we can go still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, we're finding here that, the way that we're approaching it now, successful. It's just getting the people to actually present to their towns. you know, people sit behind a computer all day long and bitch about everything that's going on. But, you know, when you ask them to actually go to their town and present the home rule resolution, well, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, we're here to help them, but, you know, you can lead the horse to water, right? But you can't make them drink because we can't do everything. You know, it's like I said, the people have to get involved. So when we come back, we're going to get to answer a couple questions that came in. So hang tight. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. We're going to commercial, guys. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Paul, where is your letter of recommendation?
Pete, the Corinthians' hearts are my letter.
Paul, that is utter bull malarkey. Daniel 11:32-36 warned us of the one who will deceive with flatteries, saying that we are free from the law. There is a Freedomizer broadcast called Everlasting Covenant Study Free from Paul. It airs from noon to 3 p.m. Pacific, 1 to 4 Mountain, and 2 to 5 Central every Saturday. Join Rachel Hodge 3 to 6 Eastern Saturdays by calling 319-527-6208.
I will not call 319-527-6208, crafty fellow that I am. I should have caught her with trickery.
No chance, Paul. Everlasting Covenant Study Free from Paul airs noon to 3 Pacific on Saturdays.
Tune in to the Alaska Patriot Network. Fridays, 2 p.m. Alaska time, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and to keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money, so check out marty.com.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics? Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers. And we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about. And you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad. Okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's going to make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Okay.
We are back.
Hurried up, snagged the snack. No.
Yeah, right.
So, area code 716-338. We're going to unmute you if you just by chance want to say anything and might have forgotten to raise your hand. You don't have to, but you are unmuted if you want to add anything to the show.
Yep, you're live, 716-338.
Nope. Okay, we can remute them. They're just listening.
Okay, you guys are listening. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah. The way that we have a switchboard that shows callers that are listening through the phone, and sometimes we don't know, if they actually want to speak or not.
Yeah.
But most people don't call in. They listen through, through the website. So, anyway. Next.
Don't you have an email?
Hmm?
I thought you had an email.
We do have an email. Let me get to the email. Dear Ryan, I live in Westchester County, New York, but I'm interested in not just our divide movement in New York, but yours. How long do you think the process could take for California if you get enough volunteers and interest?
That's really a good question. It's a matter of, I guess, really the big hurdle is getting the petitions. After we get enough people for the petitions, it would be anywhere from hopefully within a year to 2 years is how long it would take to go, to create the convention and possibly whether it gets passed or not. But once the first petition gets passed, then you have to pass the second petition. I guess the real question of time would be gaining enough supporters to get the dual petitions made.
Okay.
That would be the big challenge.
Yeah, and it's similar to, the challenge we have here with getting people to actually want to present the Home Rule Resolution. I mean, we have it all laid out. Everything's done. Paperwork is done. We just need people to go, and ask their boards, their town boards, to consider this.
Just put on your cheaters, grab the piece of paper that we email you, print it out,
and go read it.
And go read it, exactly.
Yeah.
Looks like Chuck Schumer with the readers down by your nose.
Yeah, because even if they laugh us out of there, and some of the committees have.
They've stared us out of there.
Right. At least, we've made the effort. We've made the effort.
Yeah.
And one thing about New York and this movement, we're not going away. whether they like it or not. We're not going away with this.
Well, you know, in New York, there's a lot of groups, you know, and they do rallies and stuff. I did rallies during the Vietnam War, you know, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. You know, most of them are single cause groups. You know, they're after one thing, and then the next group is after something else. And the way I feel about it is this Divide New York should unite all of the groups under one umbrella. You know, that would be nice.
Yeah, that's kind of like the idea. You know, I like to stick with throughout the whole thing. Like the concept that I want to carry to the end is about giving each region their own liberty. So I think that should be a unifying thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I think the people have just had it, you know, and that's it. So what other tips could we give Ryan to move forward with this movement? Like, what other questions would you have for us and how we can help you get this, you know, pushed on to the next level?
I guess it's getting, almost getting in contact with, I guess just members of like the state government in general, like just how has that process gone and like what is the best way to tackle it?
Well, I mean, here we had originally there was an assemblyman that sat down and drafted up the whole, the bill itself. How long is the bill?
How many pages?
Yeah.
Oh, it's long.
How many pages
it's
is.
Long. It's all legalese. That's
yeah.
What I call it.
I mean, you could get what you need out of it. You know, it's kind of like an X-ray report. All you have to do is read the impression and understand it. So they sat down and spent several days doing that, and then he sponsored the bill. You know, he sponsored the bill in assembly, and the way that our legislation works here is there's assembly members and then senators that sponsor the bill. So right now we've got, I think it's six. Oh, boy, I don't have that pulled in front of me.
But you know, there's others that not necessarily sponsored it, but supported it. And what we're finding here is, you know, you talk about it to anybody, and they're like, oh, it's a great idea, but it'll never happen. You know, and I coined the phrase, it's a great idea, let's make it happen.
Right. Yeah, taking the effort. I feel like if everybody would have put their effort into Divide New York, instead of rallies, we would have been a lot further. You know,
or instead of the single issue rallies, let's put it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, they sponsor the bill and the assemblyman wrote up the bill. So after that, it was actually, you know, on paper in New York Senate. You know, so the bill is actually sitting there, and every year it's renewed with different bill numbers. And, you know, now it's getting enough people to sign on at the town level. We want to do it as a grassroots movement rather than relying on these legislators to actually listen to it in Albany, because more than likely it won't get pushed without our help. You know, it's not like they're going to say, oh, we're going to vote on this bill today. You know, without any say from the people, it's just going to have to be that way. We're going to have to, you know, get the people involved to actually make this happen. So otherwise the bill will probably sit there for 50 years, you know, and never get looked at. So that would be the best advice, and I think you're taking that route with getting the people of California involved with it. You know, and really pushing it out there, you know, flyers, advertisements, Facebook, website, you know, and you're already starting to do all those things with this, you know, so you're on your way. You know, and it's getting a good team of people, you know, like we have a decent board, but it's getting a good team of people in every region to help out with, you know, with the nitty-gritty of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like one of the, you know, reasons why, you know, I want to get, or at least get more, you know, that's why we created the Facebook group. That's partially why, or, you know, it really is the reason why also, you know, I'm here with, you know, on the show, is because, you know, it's to get the interest built to hopefully so I can have the ability to build a team to get this done.
Yeah. Yeah, and PR is definitely a big part of it. You know, just approaching, you know, I mean, going to different town meetings and, you know, and I don't know how you guys work, if it's going to be the same, you know, type of thing where we want somebody from each town to go. But, you know, if you don't feel like you want to do it that way, then, you know, go yourself, you know, and start getting the word out there. We sat down the one day and sent, you know, our whole packet to all of the assemblymen. We sent it to all the senators and the legislators. You know, it took a while, you know, but that's the type of effort that's needed to make that happen. And getting the word out and telling people that, you know, this exists, you know, and this is a possibility if, you know, we could get enough supporters.
Yeah, we sent it out to every town councilman, every county legislator.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I think we sent out 1,400 emails. And like I said, I had to do it in batches of 99 or less. Otherwise, I got shut down for a few hours as a spammer, which I guess I was a spammer that day.
Yeah, right. So that's, you know, that's kind of what we're doing here. And, you know, like I said, we have a board that, you know, that backs it up. And, you know, we have a database of emails, you know, which is something that I'm sure you're probably going to get. You know, that's important, sending out updates, emails. But, you know, it's time-consuming. It's a lot of work. But if the effort pays off, it'll be worth it. Because at this point, for New York, I don't see a whole bunch of options. And if, you know, the election doesn't go well, there's not going to be too many options left in New York if she gets back in, because the shit's going to hit the fan around here. So when is your governor up for election?
Actually, it would be, I believe it's this year, because, the revote was last year. Yeah, it's this year.
Okay, yeah, because in New York, we don't have a recall.
Right.
Yeah, so she was the lieutenant governor when Andrew Cuomo stepped down in disgrace,
mm-hmm.
and so she became the governor. So she's never, you know, so we've got someone that's unelected, that's, you know, originally from a conservative area, and she was a moderate Democrat that once she became governor, you know, the people, I guess, in New York City said, okay, you either come to the far left with us, or, you know, you're losing all your support. So she wants to be elected governor, run for another term. So, and we've got no recalls here in New York State where you guys do.
I think even more
than having the governor, I think it's more important that we get a majority in one of the two houses, so that, you know, the way things are now, the Democrats have a super majority in both houses. So even if we had a Republican governor, they'd put a bill on his desk, he'd veto it, it would go right back to the legislature, and they could override the veto with their super majority. Mm-hmm. So, you know, getting one of the houses, which would be the Senate, to have some sanity in the state and end the one-party rule, I think is key.
Yeah, California is under that same issue where, you know, it's a Democrat supermajority. There's a few bills that Newsom's vetoed and it almost repassed, but the Democrats were still split on it, and some of them they're not too great of ideas for bills. But
yeah, there's not, you know, because we're so outweighed here. You know, the Republicans that actually do want to do something, they just get, you know, they haven't passed a sponsored Republican bill for, I think it's 18 years.
Yeah.
Here.
So what they're doing is, if, you know, the Republicans have a bill that they think is a good bill and it's real important, they write it up and they hand it to a Democrat to present, and that way, that's the way they pass them.
Yeah.
And that way it looks like the Democrat's passing the bill. You know, and that's why I got involved in politics. I mean, when I was a kid, if a Republican had a good idea and it was good for the people, the Democrats would pass the bill. or if the Democrats had a good idea and it was good for the people, the Republicans would back them. Now everything, you might as well just have three people. You know, one person from the Assembly, one person from the Senate, and the governor, and have them make all the rules because everybody just votes party lines. It's pretty sickening.
Yeah. Like I'm getting involved, I guess more it's because I really do believe people should have their own freedom and have their own power to do with what they want. You know, don't have a larger government, have people choose what they want. You know, it's better if you bring it down from a state level, even smaller, like the regions, because people can control the laws of their region a lot easier than controlling a state or controlling the federal government.
Yeah, you know, I mean, California is very, very diverse, you know, now, if you're driving and you're driving the speed limit, how long does it take to get from the, you know, Mexican border to the Oregon border?
It's about 12 hours, I believe. Actually, I believe it's more.
Wow.
But it's a long drive.
So California is a little bit longer, you know, or taller or whatever you want to call it, than even Florida. You know, from where we are to New York City is a good 8 hours plus.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going the speed limit, no traffic. You know, so we're, you know, I mean, here in Western New York, we're the Midwest. We're not East Coast people. I grew up on the East Coast. These are definitely not East Coast people here in Western New York. You know, we're more like the people from Pittsburgh or Cleveland or, you know, Cincinnati, something like that. We're you know, Midwestern people.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like to fall under New York City's draconian, you know, rule of thumb. You know, we're the bipolar opposite. And anytime you say, oh, you know, I'm from New York, people automatically think you're from New York City. You know, I'd be like, nope, I'm like 10 hours from there.
Yeah. Do you ever go to the city? And that's when I realize that they're saying, oh, you know, they think we're from outside of New York City. Yeah, you know, I go to the city of Buffalo. It's about 15 minutes from my house. But, you know, New York City, no. It's been a long time since I've been in New York City. Pre-2001, World Trade Centers were still around. So anyway, Diana, are there any more questions from emails?
Nope.
Nope, none?
Nope, nothing there. So, Ryan, do you have anything that you want to add? Why don't you talk about what your website is, your Facebook page, how people can get a hold of you so that they can become a volunteer. And, of course, you have our number. We're willing to help you out any way that we can. So what's your Facebook page? What is your email?
So our Facebook page is Activists for Autonomous Regions of California. And our email is quite the same. Let me find it real quick. Our email is calregions22@gmail.com.
Okay. Yep. So hopefully we can get you generated.
And then you guys have a website too. What's your website?
You can find our website from the Facebook page, but it's www.sites.google.com/view/calregions.
Okay, so that's attached to your Facebook page. So the Facebook page seems like that would be the best way to get started on
that. The easiest way.
Yeah, easiest way to get started. So hopefully that you can get, you know, started on this. And I think once the midterms are over, that's gonna push a lot of people to one side or the other, because people have had it in New York, and I'm pretty sure people have had it in California too.
Yeah, I think with the whole situation of the economy in general too, I think people are going to be a lot more active because, you know, it's going to start hurting people's wallets.
Yep. And then housing prices, from what I understand, are dropping like rocks out there. You know, of course, they were very, very inflated, but...
Yeah.
We're holding pretty steady here in our area, but there's other places of the country that are pretty much going downhill with the... It's going to be interesting to see what happens. They're going to re-raise in interest rates again, and You know, these are all issues that affect us, and you know, more reasons to split the states, honestly.
Yeah,
so
with the interest rates.
What was that?
Oh, well, with the interest rates going up, the economy's going to start slowing down, and so, you know, if the state is going to try to become more proactive, and I think it would be better if the regions could find solutions, you know, to manage their local economies better than the state could.
Yeah. So if there's anything that we could do to help you in this process, definitely reach out to us. It would be good to have an alliance, you know, and to be able to get this word out more. So utilize us, you know, any way that you can, and you have our numbers, you have our website. We totally appreciate you being on today. It was very informational. You know, we didn't know a lot about it.
Yeah, we didn't know what you were doing out there. We had just heard that, you know, California wanted to split into six regions.
Yeah.
That's about all we knew.
Yeah. So.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, good stuff. So we'll be sure that we send out, I'll be sure I email you the link to the podcast once it goes up on Apple and iHeartRadio. So we'll be sure that we get that to you. So thanks again for calling in. We're going to be getting ready to wrap up our show tonight, Al. So anything you want to add, Dean? We're going to talk about what we have on for next week and maybe the week after. Really exciting shows coming up.
Yeah, next week is Marie Rock. And, Diana, you've known Marie for quite a few years.
Yeah.
I've only met her a couple of times.
Yeah, Marie Rock is a force in all of New York State, actually. She runs I Am a Healthy American, Free a Healthy American. And she's going to talk about what she's done. And this woman is amazing. She never ceases to amaze me with the stuff that she does for freedom fighting. And she really is a go-to alliance for, you know, all of the groups in New York State. She's going to be on our show. We're going to have a lot to talk about. We could talk about the masks for the whole hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's going to be on. And then the following week, right before the midterms, we're going to have on the New York State audit again.
That was one show that I didn't talk. Yeah, I was speechless. That was
for
our
what?
April. Our April, yeah, the first time in my life.
Speechless, yeah.
And I told my students that today, and they were laughing at me. They didn't believe me.
Right.
But anyway, they were on April 28th, and they've found out more stuff. There are some things that they couldn't tell us because they're waiting to, you know, kind of like drop the bomb.
Yeah.
And you know, they wouldn't talk about what they could do about these things, but they did say that there were things that they found. And I guess they found a lot more stuff. I know that part of their organization has been going around and showing free versions of 2,000 mules.
Yeah.
And at different venues in the area.
Yeah. There's no doubt that there's election fraud in New York, and we're not just presidential. So we're going to be talking all about that. And then the following week, what do we have? I know we have the Cheektowaga Republican Committee coming up. That's at the end of the month. And then next month, we have the most awesome guest. And you guys will have to keep an eye out on our Facebook page for that once I get the event page made up. Are we missing a week in there or what?
And then after the election, Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort wants to be on again to do kind of a post-mortem on the November 8th elections. So I think he wants to be on, that would be the 10th,
yeah.
Thursday the 10th.
Yeah, so we have a lot going on. So we're getting ready to sign out for tonight. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Ryan from, I'm going to call it Divide California. I know he doesn't like it, but I call it Divide New York.
Yep.
We're just going to do the technical name, and we will have all the information on this podcast. And be sure you check out his website. Give this guy some support. You know, we're all trying to do our own thing here, and you know, we need change. You know,
right.
We don't need just change in New York State. We need change everywhere.
Yep.
And that's the only way it's going to start to happen. And I watch some of these conservative states. You know, they're fighting for their own stuff. You know, and you know, that's what we're going to do. So thanks for tuning in, guys. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond.
All right, everybody have a good weekend. It's supposed to be a nice one here in Western New York.
Yep.
So.
All right, tune in next week for Marie Rock. Lots of information, like too much information to talk about on that show. We'll be on live next week, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.